Blog Talk Radio.
That men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His wondrous works toward men. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. He made the heavens and earth and all that is.
This is Dr. Cassandra McDonald coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio. It's just a mind thing. The more you can keep your mind on Christ and capture His mind and His thoughts and where He is, the easier it is to just enjoy His blessings. Again, this is Dr. Cassandra McDonald with Caring and Sharing Ministries. It's such a pleasure each time to come before you. Talk about the goodness of my Lord. It is so astounding to have this truth and we have this connection with God. Someone said to me yesterday, they said, oh, if I could just get a little bit of your God connection. I'm like, let me tell you the whole story, because it's easy. He said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, then you shall ask whatever it is you want. And then there's some ramifications that go with that, because he tells you, don't say you love me, don't keep my commandments. Do you hear what I say? Have you hidden your word in my heart? You have to eat all of the word of God. That's why it's so essential to read the Bible and to know it. And so many times we say, well, I had a friend, very intelligent, highly degree. I don't understand it. It confuses me. I'm like, oh, you're going to try to use that as an excuse? I'm going to tell you what that excuse is. It's called lazy. Take time. If you had to figure out a formula or something that you had to do in business or your job, you would take time to learn that and to know that, because it's important to you. Make the word of God that important. And our subject for today is grow where God has planted you. If you look on my Facebook, which is just underneath my name, Cassandra McDonald, you'll see where I have the one sheeter. It looks like this course is a little backwards, but it looks like that. It's a one sheeter. And I put that out every week. And I ask, you know, people talk about, well, what is this connection you have with God? I said, go read, learn, and study. I said, are you looking and seeing? I said, I put a sheet on there every week. And if you'll just delve into that, have a concern about knowing who God is, and then you'll have a concern about knowing who God is in your life. God is such an incredible, wonderful God that loves you and that wants to bless you if you will invest in your time. So our subject is, oh, I love the subject, grow where God has planted you. God has planted a seed in each one of us. Now, realize that I work with autistic students. I'm the owner of a business. I'm a scholarship provider for autism. And I just left a new potential client. And it was so cool because I sang for him because he loves music. And the response that he had was a trigger. And his mother was kind of like, oh, my goodness. And he started running. He had to get over a phone. He was going to do this. He was determined. You know, they get one thought, and there's nothing that will deter them from that one thought. I got to make a phone call. And she was trying to chase him. I think she felt perhaps embarrassed because we were watching. I said, this is no big deal. God has a purpose in this young man. So he finally got on the phone, and he called one of his caretakers. It's so purposeful. It was so cool. Now, he was getting a return on what he was investing in for that moment. And he says, I'm here, and I got a new girlfriend, so I have a new boyfriend, everyone. He's my student. He says, I have a new girlfriend. Her name's Cassandra, and I'm here in her place, and she has music. I mean, he wanted to share. Oh, we have an eagerness to share what felt good and what was good to us. He loved the music, and he wanted to tell her, I got a new music teacher, and she's playing for me. And, I mean, he just, boom, he didn't let me finish the song. I was just, Amazing Grace is very short, and I was right in the middle of it. But he had to share. Oh, that we had that kind of energy towards sharing the goodness of the Lord. And that's what God expects us to do with the seed that he has planted in us. God wants a return on his money, on his investment. Every businessman, what are you in there for? What is the outcome? What is the volatile? You know, they want to know, what is this going to bring for me? You're not in business not to make money. You're in business to make money. And that's okay, because God said it's the root of money that's the evil, not money. We need money. I couldn't have a school or do anything if I didn't have a cash flow. Got to have it. But I use it to God's glory. That's why he says that if I abide in him and his word abides in me, and that's his word. Talk about his word and how that he shows you that when he plants a seed in you, he wants to return. He's planted a seed in me. I never knew I would be in an autism school. Never, ever suspected it. I opened up a school after 21 years of teaching in the college for business, art, and music. I had that desire, but I had to go with the way God was growing me. That's why the subject is grow what God has given you. I had to grow what he was doing, and my passion has always been towards homeless and incarcerated you know, youth with trouble, youth that are at risk, because I'm like, who loves them? How do you wake up each day and know no one wants you? I mean, I have five children. They know that I love them, and there's nothing that will keep me from loving and helping them and being at their aid when they need me. But how do you, as a child, process waking up? No one's there to rescue you. No one's there to care for you. No one's there necessarily to say that I love you. I mean, you don't have any kind of backing, no stability, no foundation, and there's not one coming. So I wanted to be that one that said, I got this. I got you. Okay? Look at what we can provide. So that's how I ended up doing autism, because as I worked with the people that were at this facility for homeless youth, as it turns out, a lot of them are on the spectrum. They just hadn't been identified only as bad, but actually on the spectrum, and they act differently. And like this young man that left here, he's going to make a phone call. There is nothing you can do to stop him from making a phone call. He was getting somebody's phone and making his phone call because that's where his mind was. And that's how they work. Is he being disobedient, not paying attention? All of the above, but that's not why. It's because his wiring says, I need to make this phone call, and I have to do this, and I have to do it right now. So I'm going to read a scripture that the Lord led me to use, and it's taken from Matthew, the 25th chapter and the 25th verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Now notice the parallel. He gives you parables about, as a passage, as a picture of things that would be, but they're not actually the realism of what's happening, but it gives you the story form so that you can do a parallel and a comparative. So it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. They knew they were supposed to do. They knew they had their lamps, and they knew that they were purposeful. They knew all of those areas. And five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. Now, let's see, which category are you in? Okay, where's your preparedness for the event? I heard someone say the other day, when opportunity knocks, that is not the time to start getting ready. It's a little late. That's why the Lord says, be ready always to give an answer. Always be ready. Be studied up. Be ready up. God's worth it for you to spend that time. So they that were foolish took their lamps, and they didn't take any oil. Hello? What were you thinking? So what this tells me, everybody had a lamp, and the oil was provided, the necessary resources. They took the lamp without oil. Serious? Don't we do that a lot of the time? And those that were wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamp. Everybody has a lamp. Everyone knows that you need oil to run the lamp. And you have the nerve to pick up the lamp and not get the oil that's there provided for you. You didn't have to want, ask, beg, borrow, steal, nothing. The oil was there, and you didn't have enough value and knew where you were going to meet the bridegroom. And unprepared. Serious? That's what they did. So, while they went to, but the wise took the oil and they let, and then I skipped down to the 10th verse. So what happens before the 10th verse, in between the 4th verse and the 10th, is that the bridegroom came. And those wise virgins got up because the lamps were trimmed and they had the oil. Bam, they went into the chamber. They were ready. The foolish, and this is what happened, they had to go find some oil now. Go buy some oil now. Serious? They had to go buy oil. They had oil there provided, left it, and when it's time, they got to leave and go buy oil. So while they went to buy, I'm at the 10th verse now, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came and went with them into marriage and took the wise virgins who were prepared. Afterwards, here come the foolish version saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. I got my oil now. They're knocking on the door. Let me in. Let me in. But he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Now, remember what we initially said, that this is a likeness of the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, right now you have opportunity. You're talking, you're listening to me. The opportunity is available for you to know what to do. And you're not doing it. I've got two specific people, one in particular that I speak to each week, agrees to everything I say and does nothing. I'm like, can finish my sentence with the scripture and does nothing. I'm like, how is it that you seemingly understand, you seemingly receive, but you do, so all the oil and the information, he says, yep, gotta have that name of Jesus. That's where, I mean, all of it's there, and you still. So when Jesus comes, and I even say to this person, I said, one thing you can be guaranteed. When you stand before him, you cannot say you never knew because I told you. I pointed out to the scripture, you're not void of knowledge. There is no excuse. Like the oil was there for them to get it right there. And they didn't take value. They refused. It said, my subtopic is use the resources God has given you. He had given them the oil and they didn't take it. I keep giving out this knowledge. Yesterday someone said, ooh, if I could just get some of the God connection. I said, you can have it all. It's for everybody. You just have to read his word. Most people think, do not read the scriptures when they get to church. That's why they get fascinated with the Bible. The preacher give them a scripture, and they're like, ooh, this that scripture's there? Ooh. You know, that's the first time since last week. It should have enough value for you that is something that you do steadily all time. Taking time out to know who Jesus is. Hey, it's your eternal future. Invest in it. Hello? It just mesmerizes me. I guess I don't even know what to think. I guess if things are just going along well and there's no big interruption where they just a drama scene where they need Jesus, as long as I acknowledge him, I do my little 20 minutes, you know, I'm good. I said, do you know him? Is he your plan A? Is he your plan B? Where does he fit in your life? Where is he along the totem pole of value in your life? These foolish versions had no value. And then there's another parallel that I wanted to use. Let me see if I can find that. I know what it was. It was the talents. God, this is another parable. The servant had given, he had three servants, and the master had given out talents. Well, to one talent, he gave five. He one servant, he gave five talents. Another servant, he gave two. And the other one, he gave one. Okay, so he went away for a while, and I was trying to find where that scripture was for you. I think it's in the 7th chapter of Matthew. So he went away. He came back, and the servant that had five talents said, hey, I've increased the talents, and now I have 10 instead of five. He says, a good and faithful service. Well done. Well done. Then the servant who he gave two said, hey, I increased my two. I doubled it. I now have four. He says, well done, a good and faithful servant. The servant that had one. Hello. See, God knows who he can trust. God knows who has his heart, who has the heart and the mind of God. God knows. Did nothing. He took us and had the audacity. That's what kills me. I figure not only are you cuckoo, you crazy cuckoo too. He took the one talent, put it in the master's face, and said, I knew you were an evil man planting where you don't. So and reaping it. I'm like, and you're going to tell off your master? Let's see how far that gets you. He took the one talent and he hit it. And then he told them off on top of that. I'm like, serious? Really? How did that work out for you? It didn't. He says, thou evil servant. He took it from him. But guess who he gave it to? I found that most interesting. Not to the one that had two that had a double increase, but to the one that had five who had a double increase. The one who had the most got more. Wow. Wow. What does that tell us about God? He's looking for your best. He knew he could trust the one that he gave five to. And he says, I'm going to trust you further than that. So many times we pray and it's like, well, I prayed and God doesn't answer prayers. This doesn't happen. Trust me. It's not God. Okay? It's you. Hello, secret. Knock, knock, knock. It's you. God is perfect. He's not having a bad moment or a bad day. Okay? That would be you. So do you want to find out what it is in you? That's what this is all about. So faith cometh by hearing. You've got to hear this word of God and apply it so that you can grow. And that's how you grow. It's through faith. Grow what God have given you. Did I finish that scripture? Yeah. Okay. You are. And the other thing I want to point back out again is that going back to the five versions, he said that, I know you not. Well, how is that? They knocked on the door. They were brought up with the other five, but when they came to get in, so when you go to get in heaven, if your heart is not with him and your passion and you don't put him first, he says, I know you not. That means he hasn't known you in his spirit. He hasn't known you through his spirit, by his spirit, because you never took value like this person I'm talking to. I give them scripture after scripture. I'm like, go read it. It's in there. They agree to everything. Every week, the same time. Well, God said, I know you're not. You never took time to know who I was. So I don't know you either. And here's the thing, last thing into it is that if you don't produce fruit, I went and reread that and I went, woo! Every tree that does not produce fruit, he will hew it down. And that's the part I remember. And that's what I'm going to look at the scripture. You know what it says after that? And cast it into the fire. I'm like, okay, not only did he cut it down, he's going to put it in the fire. That's what's going to happen. That's the honest truth. Yes, we serve a good God. Yes, we serve a blessing God. But there is judgment. You run a red light, you get a ticket. Okay? So there is judgment. Why go through all that when you can have life? Have that more abundantly. Love God and be blessed. My God. Hey, this thing works. Hallelujah. Works. Woo. He's a good God. Get all the good stuff, you know? Get the good stuff. Don't live in judgment. Live in blessings. Grow. God has put something in every one of us, and you have the responsibility to grow it. Grow it. Be blessed and be blessed.